to thine own self be true. William Shakespeare is back in the spotlight again. Hamlet, starring our own Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley, lands in cinemas this week, and both actors are already hotly tipped for Oscar nominations. The film dramatizes the playwright's life and legacy more than 400 years after his death. So, today we're asking, why are we still so obsessed with Shakespeare? Should he continue to hold such a dominant place in Irish classrooms?
He's got more inside of him than any man I've ever met.
Who are you looking for?
William Shakespeare.
What do you wish to do, Hamlet?
I shall be one of father's players.
Will you be brave?
Yes.
Will you be brave?
But when shall we three meet again?
You should go to London. That place in your head is now more real to you than anywhere else.
Do you not wonder what is in it?
In what?
The play.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beatty. William Shakespeare is treated differently to almost every other writer we encounter in school. He's considered essential. While Peg Sayers has been booted from the compulsory curriculum in Ireland, the Bard seems to remain untouchable. And we can't deny Shakespeare's importance. His words are scattered throughout the language we speak to this day. His characters shape how we understand ourselves, and his influence runs through centuries of literature, theatre and film.
To die. To sleep. To sleep. Perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off? This mortal coil must give us pause.
But does William Shakespeare still matter in 2026? And for how long more can he guarantee his privileged place in the Irish classroom? Well, let's say hello to Conor Murphy. Conor is an English teacher at Skibbereen Community School in County Cork. Conor, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Shane, and it's West Cork, just to be clear.
The nicest part of the country. You're all very proud of West Cork, too. Let's start with Hamlet, a real Irish thing to this film as well, with Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley involved. And the film is based on Maggie O'Farrell's best-selling book of the same name, which I understand also happens to be on this year's Leaving Cert syllabus.
Yes, it's one of the many texts that you can use for the comparative section. So you could be comparing that to other novels or plays or films. It's a good book, very entertaining book, a bit of a tearjerker, but it's really good, well worth the study, well worth the read.
And this is on the syllabus, as I say, but it's a story about Shakespeare rather than by him. So we're not using Shakespeare himself. It's clear that audiences are still very interested in him.
Yeah, it imagines what his life would have been like around the time when his son Hamlet, not to give a spoiler away, but it's hundreds of years old. So his son Hamlet dies. We don't know much about William Shakespeare. So these kind of books are very interesting as we kind of imagine what his life might have been like and his interactions with his wife, Anne Hathaway. And then he wrote Hamlet then just after the death of his son. So how did that come about and how did one influence the other? But that very lack of knowledge about his background, I think, is one of the reasons why he has survived so long, and that we can just reimagine what he is like as the decades go past.
And I mean, Gas, I remember when I was in school, there were so many rumours about William Shakespeare too. Of course, some people even claim that he didn't write all of those famous plays and poems.
Yeah, at one stage, that rumour started gathering speed because Shakespeare's education wasn't exactly of a high standard compared to other writers. So certain people in the aristocracy, etc., presumed that a man of such lowly standing couldn't possibly write all these plays. So they presumed other people must have written them for him. And those kind of conspiracy theories then gained legs. And all of a sudden, there were a number of people wrote them for him, etc. Now, it is true that Shakespeare did collaborate, and there are a number of plays where you know he collaborated with other writers, and it's quite clear sometimes where it is. I'm teaching Macbeth at the moment, and there are clear scenes in Macbeth that have been added in with witches, which were obviously very popular, so somebody else decided to write a couple of scenes in there with the witches and Hecate, which he didn't write. But Shakespeare, he was the main writer of all the plays.
You've just given me shivers there for my own Leaving Cert, remembering, because I did Macbeth as well. With your English teacher hat on, why is Shakespeare still so great, do you think?
Why is he so great? Well, I'm a bit of a Shakespeare... he is great, but I'm one of those people who doesn't think that should be compulsory.
Oh.
So why is he so great? He is so great because he does discuss all of these themes that are timeless. He touches on what is the essential to be a human being, which is timeless across all the centuries. And he touches on other great big themes like tyranny and love and lust and greed and ambition, all those elements that are central to humanity and our basic instincts in life. And of course, they're written beautifully with absolutely gorgeous language, and they manage to articulate the inexplicable, like good poetry does. I mean, sometimes we can't say what we want to say, but it comes out in the form of poetry, and Shakespeare could do that. But he's not the only person who's ever been able to do that, and I don't think that he necessarily should be so compulsory. We're in a stage now in the English classroom where we will be in a stage very soon when the new English Leaving Cert comes in, where Shakespeare could be the only writer that we study in any depth. I think that's a scary thought.
Okay, but he is kind of essential though, is he not? I mean, we're talking there about compulsory. Like, he invented words like bedroom, addiction, eyeball, fashionable, gloomy, lackluster, lonely, swagger and zany. So his influence to this very day is still there.
Well, if we're going to start putting people who made up words, who wrote supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? So maybe we should have Roald Dahl in there as well, or Spike Milligan. He is important, and I'm not saying he's not important, but if he's the only, his exceptionalism drowns out the voices of other people. And his place on the pedestal above all else means that we are a perpetual place.
Yeah.
Perpetuates this idea that he is the best. Why do we think he's the best? Because that's all we've ever known. As we go through school, Shakespeare is the best. It's what we continue being told. Well, that's not necessarily the case. I don't think you should elevate any one person above anybody else, especially in art. Art isn't a science. There's no formula that says Shakespeare is the best. He's just one voice amongst many. And I think other people should be added to the pedestal that we put him on. I don't think he should be torn down.
Yeah.
Just more voices should be put up there with him.
Do you find that your students sort of glaze over when they have to read Shakespeare?
Well, his language is very difficult, and that's not a bad thing in a school. You know, you've got to be able to work out language and clearly analyse it and try and work out what people say. And it's about thinking that it's a very beneficial thing to be able to do. But it depends on how it's taught. So at junior cycle, the curriculum is so overloaded that you end up just focusing on particular scenes in Shakespeare. And that's what we've actually been told to do. And we're told years ago when we entered continuous professional development classes, we were told that in this new junior cycle, you don't have to read the whole play, you just have to take out scenes. But then if you're taking out scenes and you're diving into them and the nitty gritty, there's no way for a student to enjoy that approach. Yeah. And then at Leaving Cert, then the exam, the CAO pressure comes on. And again, by the time we get to this stage in Leaving Cert, sixth year after Christmas, it's all about notes and notes they try and cover as much as possible. And again, there's no enjoyment in that. So the moment to try and enjoy the plays is very narrow. And of course, plays aren't written to be read.
No.
Plays are written to be performed. So I don't know why we're not watching performances of the play.
Yeah, watch a play or even watch the film. I remember doing Romeo and Juliet for my junior cert, and again, reading it kind of glazed over until we watched the two films. So the one from the 60s or whenever that was made, and then the Leonardo DiCaprio version. But I'm just wondering if even watching the film would be more effective than reading the play.
But the film is a performance, so I'm not a big fan of adaptations of novels, but in terms of plays, film's a performance and you can watch it. When I was teaching Romeo and Juliet, I would always show the Baz Luhrmann version because that brings it to life. It's very youthful, even these decades later, however many years it is later, 20-odd years, it's how old it is. But I'd always show that as well. Of course, the downside of that is that if some kids will then write an essay about when Romeo fell into the swimming pool or when he took out his gun. So you kind of have to be careful when you're teaching it to make sure they know this is a film adaptation.
My lips, two blushing pilgrims, race stand. to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrim's hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Well then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do, they pray grant thou, lest faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, they'll grant for prayer's sake.
Then move not while my prayer's effect I take.
Yeah, but I like the idea that your teacher have of showing, if I had the time, I'd love to be able to do it, showing two different versions of the play.
Yes.
And comparing them and discussing them that way. That would be, that's what I think should be done.
And there was even a bit of nudity in the 60s one, from memory as well, which is quite interesting to see in a Christian Brothers school, everyone reacting to that. Who gets lost then if Shakespeare takes up so much of the curriculum? Who else should be acknowledged?
Well, Irish writers get lost first and foremost. I mean, we're studying an English writer which we've been handed down since colonial times. Shakespeare's the only writer over the last 100 years of the Leaving Cert who's stayed there all the time. And that comes from when we took the Leaving Cert from from the British colonists. And the cultural imperialism of Shakespeare survived that transition and has stuck with us. And once you have that person elevated above everybody else, and that person is an Englishman, it kind of grates a little bit as an Irishman. Where are all the Irish voices? Where's McGahern? Where's Joyce? And it also means that more people, new writers, can't enter the canon. I have a book in front of me here by Dearan na Gcéadfra, A Ghost in the Throat, which I think is an absolutely fantastic, fascinating text that I would love to bring into a classroom and dissect and take it apart. But I can't, because Shakespeare is up there and Shakespeare is dominating that area, that space in my classroom,
right,
and does from first until sixth year.
I mean, also those students may find Shakespeare hard to understand. I'm not sure they'd find Ulysses any easier to understand.
Well, you could do the Dubliners, or you could do Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man. Portrait was on in 2008 and 2009 on it as well. But then you got John McGahern. Marina Carr is on at the moment, Girl in an Altar, and that's another fantastic book as well, a fantastic play. So there are lots of other voices, but we haven't elevated them or given them time to enter into the canon or given them time to breathe. The other thing about Shakespeare, and one of the reasons he stays for so long, is because there's so much out there on him, as in notes on his plays, etc., in terms of teaching, not much on his biography, but in terms of his teaching. But if we left other texts up there and let them gather momentum and let them then enter the canon and let them be the new voices, along with Shakespeare,
right.
I think that's the way we should go.
So if you had a wish list, then you're saying more of a balance on the syllabus.
More of a balance. There is a balance. See, this is the thing. There is a balance and there are lots of texts to choose from. But when you say Shakespeare is compulsory and you have to do him, that means that he's going to take center stage. So you take him out of that compulsory nature and make him just another option. And all of a sudden, then all the other voices that are there present on the list, like you said, Hamnet, the novel is on the list. All those other options become available to us as a teacher. And now we can bring in other voices and elevate other voices. And then in 100 years' time, somebody could be talking about all the different novels and the different books and the different plays that they did alongside Shakespeare. And aren't they all great? Not just this guy, not just Billy, everybody. And that's the world we should be living in, and not this kind of elevating one person above everybody else. As we see all around the world, that really is not the way to go forward.
There could be people, I know there are people listening to this podcast who'll say they absolutely hated doing Shakespeare in school, or they've no memory of what they did. As an adult, what would you recommend maybe people discover or rediscover from Shakespeare?
Rediscover, the easy access is Romeo and Juliet. I think that's a nice, easy one to get into. And then if you've read Hamlet, go and watch Hamlet. And I'd say watch it rather than read it. The historical ones are all very good, very entertaining as well. Hal and all those people, Henry's, they're very good. But the one I'm teaching now, Macbeth, is like a classic gangster movie, almost.
With a female femme fatale as well.
the female femme fatale, which she didn't get her dues in the end. So she should have had a better ending, but we won't spoil it for anybody if they haven't read it or seen it yet.
If you want to discover an ambitious woman, maybe read Macbeth.
Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thought. Unsex me here and fill me from the crown to the toe top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers! Wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pour thee in the dunnest smoke of hell.
Will you go see this, Hamlet?
Oh, I'm not a big fan of... Okay, my issue is a very personal issue. I'm an English teacher.
Yeah.
So I know all the other English teachers are going to go and see it, and they'll all be discussing it and whether it's faithful to the novel or not faithful to the novel. So I might just give it a miss and then watch it when it comes out on TV or a streaming thing rather than going to see it in the cinema. I like to avoid those kind of conversations. But I did really enjoy the book. And I believe the two performances are exceptional. So.
Why, do you not like things that are too popular, is it?
No, it's because I'm not a fan of adaptations and of people comparing a book to a film. A film is a film and a book is a book, and they're two separate entities. And English teachers have a tendency to watch a film version of a book they love, and then they'll just start giving out. That's what they'll do. They'll say, "Oh my God, Connor, it's not the same." And you go, "I know it's not the same because it's a film. It's not supposed to be the same. They're allowed to make changes and allowed to be different." So I like to avoid those kind of conversations.
Right.
So if I did go to see it, I'm not going to tell anybody and I'll just go, "Oh, I don't know. I know anything about that."
You're a proper purist. Okay, very good. Connor, thank you so much for being with us here today on News Talk Daily. Hamlet, maybe you're not like Connor. Maybe we will want to go and see it. Hamlet opens in Irish cinemas this Friday. If you do go along, I'd love to hear what you think and whether they'll win the Oscar or not. You can send your reviews to me by email. The address is newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. That is it for the podcast for today. I'll be back on News Talk tomorrow morning with Breakfast Briefing and then in your feeds bright and early with another edition of News Talk Daily. Until then, bye-bye for now.